today we're going to begin here with the Mishnah on the top of Lamed Aleph, Lamed Aleph. The Mishnayot now are shifting to discuss another one of the parshiot that's found in Vayikra Perek Chaf Hei, which is that of Mechirat Beito, selling one's house. Now there are two houses that possibly one could sell. There's a house within a walled city, and then there is what they call Batei Chatzerim, a house that's in a unwalled city. As far as houses in unwalled cities, they have the same din as a Estei Achuzah. They considered or have the same status as Estei Aretzi Chashev. The more unique din is Ish Kimkor Beit Mushav Yerchumah, where a person sells a house within a walled city. So the Pasuk tells us in Perek Chaf Hei, Pasuk Chaf Tet, that house, Vaita Gulato, Atom Shnat Mimkoro, Yamim Tie Gulato. The individual has a year in which to redeem that house. Veloim Iga El Admlot Lo Shanat Mima. The person does not redeem it within that first year. Become a Bayet Asher, Ba'ir, Asher Lo Chumalit Smitut, Lakone Utolo Dorodav Lo Yotze Bilyovel. Then the house exchanges, becomes the property of the new owner forever. And the Yovel will have no impact on it. So here for a house within a walled city, you have 1 year to redeem the house. If it's not redeemed within that first year, it then transfers ownership to the new buyer permanently. So that's what we're going to be discussing here. Amocher bayit bebatei arei choma, harei ze goel miyad, vegoel koshnei masar chodesh. He's allowed to redeem it immediately, and he redeems it for the next 12 months. Now in terms of redeeming it immediately, that's as opposed to Estei Achuzato, which he has to wait 2 years before he can begin to redeem it. Over here, he redeems it immediately. And number two is the limit on his redemption is the next 12 month period, as opposed to the Estei Achuzah, which he has the right to redeem all the way until the Yovel. Harei ze kemin ribit, vein ribit. This is like charging interest, even though we don't consider it interest over here. The reason we don't consider it interest is because the transaction is a transaction of buying, of purchasing, not a loaning, an outstanding loan that you're charging interest on. But if you think about it, you have here a person gives money in order to purchase the home. In the interim, that person lives in the home. And then all of a sudden the seller of the home says, I want my house back, I'm going to redeem it from you. So he redeems the house at the same price that the person paid him for it. The interim time that the buyer spent in the house is like interest on a loan. He basically lent him money. In the interim, he stayed in the house. That's the equivalent of collecting interest on it. And then he gets his money back. So it looks like interest, although it was done in a transactional manner, not in a borrowing manner. If the seller dies, his child can redeem the house. If the purchaser dies, you can redeem it from his son's hand. You count the year from the time that he sold it, shenemar, ad melot lo shana, until it completes the full year. Ukshu omer tmima. So then what does it mean, tmima? So ad melot lo shana, tmima. What's the tmima? Lavi et achodesh ayibur. To tell you that you get the benefit of a leap year. Rabbi omer, liten lo shana vi ibura. To give you the year plus its ibur. We'll get back what that means. Igia yom shnei masar chodesh v'lo nigala. Get to the 12th month and it's not redeemed. Haita chaluta lo, it becomes permanently his. Echad alokeach ve'echad anitan lo b'matana. Irrespective of the way that he came into possession of it, so whether he purchased it or he was given it as a matana. Shinamar litzmitut. Litzmitut means forever, that it will remain in that possession. Now, what does it mean? Shana v'ibura. Right, we had here the Chachamim or the Tanakam who says that it's a chodesh ibur that you get. Chodesh ibur is clearly the leap year. It goes to your benefit. So for instance, if a person sold the house in Shabbat, and then they had two Adars, he sold it on Tubi Shabbat, he can redeem it up to Tubi Shabbat the next year, that'll turn out to be 13 months instead of 12 months, because we're going from date to date. So that all works out as long as you do this before the leap year, not in the month of the leap year. We'll see that in the Gemara in a second. On the other hand, Rabbi says that it's Shana V'Ibura. So you look in Rashi, Shana V'Ibura, Ben Pshuta, Ben Shana Me'uberet, Yonim Lo Shnat Levana, V'yamim Shiyatirim B'Shnot HaChama, Alo Shnot HaLevana. We know that a lunar year is 354 days. We know that a solar year is 365 days. There's an 11-day difference. We make up for that 11-day difference by having a leap year 7 out of the 19 years in a cycle. But that 11-day difference, what Rabbi says, is you're entitled to basically 365 days. Entitled to Shnat Levana plus the 11 days. We don't give you a leap year when the month is there. We don't not give you the 13th month when you aren't there. We do it based on the Shnot HaChama, 365-day year. Not based on the lunar year with the months that are added in or not added in depending on the year. Rather, we just give you each year 365 days. Over a period of time, it'll equate out to be the same thing. The average of the lunar years over a 19-year cycle should equal 365 days because that's what we're adjusting for. So that's Shita Rashi and Rabbi. On the other hand, the Rambam and possibly here the Rabbeinu Gershom also explained that the Shanavi Ibura means you get the benefit of the better of. You get whichever is longer. If it's the solar year, you get 365 days. And if it's the lunar year that's longer, I mean it's a leap year, then you get the benefit of the leap year. So it's the better of the two rather than just the 365 days. And then the Mordechai adds in that we also have to calculate the fractions of the year, which is that a solar year would be 365 and a quarter. And then a lunar year, we'd have the Sherit Shana that would also be added in that you'd have to deal with in these situations. All right, the Gemara says, Matnitan, Deloka Rabbi. Our Mishnah is obviously not like Rabbi, Detanya. Rabbi Omer, Yamim, and Yamim, Pachot Mishnayim. Days are no less than two. Rabbanan, Hayamim, Mai of Delay. What do they do with these days? Baile Miyom, Liyom. Teach you that when we calculate over here, the year, we go from day to day. Meaning that if you sold it on Tu B'Shvat, you have a year until the next Tu B'Shvat. As opposed to, and we'll see in a second, as opposed to the possibility that the years would be dictated by Tishrei and not by the date that you sold it on. Rabbi Miyom Liyom Minale. If he's going to use the Yamim to teach you Shnayim, then where does he learn out that you go Miyom Liyom from? Nale Nafile Me'atom Shnat Mimparo, until the end of his year of sale. So the pasuk says, Vayita Gulato Atom Shnat Mimparo Yamim. So Rabbi is saying, Atom Shnat Mimkaro teaches you that it goes by your years, not by the calendrical years, not by Tishrei being the determining year, but when you sold it will be the determining factor. Yamim teaches me too, as opposed to the Chachamim who learned that Yamim means that I go from day to day. So now, Shnat Mimkaro, the Rabbanon, how me baile, they need Shnat Mimkaro, Shalo, Lo Shnat Shal Minyan Olam, and not according to Tishrei. The Yamim, me baile, lame eight late. And Yamim teaches me from 8 to 8. So until now, we said before, I said Yom to Yom teaches you your year, not the year of the world. And the Chachamim say, oh, wait a minute. Atom Shnat Mimkaro, you're right, Rabbi. That teaches me that you go from my personal date when I sold the house, not based on the calendrical date. What about Yamim? Yamim teaches me not only do I go from day to day, I also go from 8 to 8, from moment to moment. So that would mean that in this situation, if I sold it at noon on Tu B'Shvat, that means that I get to the next year, noon on Tu B'Shvat. Not just until Tu B'Shvat, I get to noon on Tu B'Shvat. That's me 8, the 8, plus Miyom Liyom. That's what the Chachamim say it's teaching you. Dim ad tom shnat mimkaro, had I just had that part of the Pasuk Avamina Miyom Liyom, in, made the 8 though. That it would simply be from day to day, from Tu B'Shvat to Tu B'Shvat, made the 8, from the exact hour, no. Katav Rachmano Yamim, to tell me even there made the 8. Rebbe made late minole. Where does Rebbe know that din? That you go from the exact time, not just the exact day, but the exact time. Nafkilei mi tmima. In the next pasuk it says, Vin lo yigel ad melot lo shana tmima. So tmima means tamim. That's to be a complete year, an absolutely complete year. That means that you're going mi 8 to 8. Rabbi says, I learned it out of the word tmima. Rabbanon, what do they do with the word tmima? And we buy lately ibura. That's what teaches you that you get the extra month. For Rebbe, Nami, Hami, Baile, the Ibura. Rebbe needs that for his opinion for Ibura. Gura says, Och, Nami, you're right. He does need Tmima for Ibura. Miyom, Liyom, Umle, 8 to 8. Both Miyom, Liyom, and 8 to 8. Atom, Shnat, Mimkaro, Nafka. He learns both those out of the word, Atom, Shnat, Mimkaro, until the end. Tom means Tamim, full year. And therefore he has the Yamim left over in order to have his Drusha by Yamim. Yamim is 2 days. And therefore, you have to wait until after 2 days in order to begin to redeem the house. As opposed to Chachamim, who say, Goel Miyat in our Mishnah, that you can start to redeem the house immediately after the sale. In the moment after the sale, you can redeem it, whatever you want. Rabbi says, you have to give him Yamim. You have to give him at least 2 days before you start to redeem the house. Rabbi has the word Yamim extraneous because of Tom Shnat Mimkaro, he learns out both Dinim, both of Miyom Liyom, and Mi 8 Le'eit. And from Tmima, he learns out Shana V'Ibura. The Chachamim, on the other hand, learn out Shanao Ibura from Tmima, Atom Shnat Mimkaroz Mi Yom Liyom, and then Yamim teaches me Mi 8 La 8. Not only is it from day to day, but Mi 8 La 8. Everybody agrees to that din, but they just learn it out of different places. Now what's interesting here, I mentioned this back in Bechorot when we did this, we quoted the Gemara Masechet Nida, that there are a series of items that we go by Mi Yom Liyom, that we don't go by the Shnat Olam, but we go by the year. One of them, for instance, is a Bechor. A Bechor, when do you determine the year of the Bechor? Korban. When do you determine when the year of the Korban is up? So over there, all these dinim have a din of miyom liyom. Now Rashi in Bechorot, and it seems to be in the Gemara Nida, also says that it's also mi'eit le'eit. It's not just miyom liyom, it's also mi'eit le'eit. The same din as we have here. The question, and Tosafot raises it, and I mentioned this in Bechorot, is it's not clear. The Gemara over there only has a limud miyom liyom. In the Gemara in Bechorot and the Gemara Nida, which are quoting from the Gemara Nida, it only has a single limud. That single limud only teaches you miyom liyom. Mi'eit le'eit, we here require a second pasuk, a second limud to teach us mi'eit le'eit. So Tosfot says, Perish Arav Rabbi Chanan, Tadavka b'bati erei choma b'inan mi'eit le'eit, l'sha'ot. That only by b'bati erei choma do we say mi'eit le'eit, because here we have a second limud. We don't have it only miyom liyom, we also have mi'eit le'eit. Va'atosafot katvukan hu adin b'kulhu, b'inan mi'eit le'eit. As Rashi said back there in Bechorot, and we saw it, and Tosfot suggests over here, that in all of them you get mi'eit le'eit, l'sha'ot. Tafinan shana shana mi'bati erei choma. This becomes the paradigm of something that works on its own clock, and something that works on its own clock gets not only day to day, but moment to moment. And therefore we apply from here to the other dinim. So it's a question if this becomes a paradigm when we extrapolate from it, or is this an exception to the rule, because we have a double limud over here. So over here we have the double limud, you get mi'om li'om, and mi'eit le'eit. But in a situation where you have one limud, like by Karbanot, and like Bechor, maybe over there it should only be mi'om li'om and not mi'eit le'eit.
I mean, it's sort of logical to say that I'm saying, I am from the time I sold it. But here, from the time I sold it, if I sold it at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, why should I say that, you know, the night before, first thing in the morning,
The Torah only mentions yomim, generally, like things when we mention by chadashim, we mention by years. Torah acknowledges the counting by months, counting by years, counting by days. The Torah never acknowledges the counting by sha'ot. It's just an interesting thing. The Torah never uses that as a measurement of time. Sha'ot are not a measurement of time. Yet here we're going to demand that there is a measurement of time. 8-8, at least according to the Bali Tosfot, Rabbi Chanan said that this is dafka here. You have a special limud over here. All right. Arizek, I mean repeat. It's a kind of interest that's charged here. V'atanya, we have a break that says, Hariz Rubit Gimura El Shatorah Hitirato. This is real Rubit, but the Torah says it's okay. I mean, that this is Rubit, but the Torah permitted this type of Rubit in this situation. Sam Rabbi Yochanan Kasha, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbanon. Machlok between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanon. D'atanya, we have a break to Hareshaya Noshe Bechaveiro. Bane. Vasalo Sadeu Mecher. So he had an outstanding loan. He was a creditor to this individual for 100 zuz. Vasalo sadeo mecher. And they made the field as a collateral. Bizman shomocher ochel perot mutar. If the seller eats the perot, then we're fine with it. Lokeach ochel perot. On the other hand, if the buyer eats the perot, asur, then we have a problem with it. So over here you have a loan that's outstanding. The field is collateral and it says I don't pay the loan within the next 3 years, you get the field. If in the interim, the mocher, the seller of the field, I mean the one who is the borrower over here, if he eats the perot in the interim, we're not worried about that. Because over here, there's no interest being charged for the loan. On the other hand, if the buyer being here the creditor, eats the fruits in that interim period, what could happen is that at the end of the period, the mocher, the seller, or the debtor over here, will redeem the field. He'll say, here's your loan back, I have the money, I pay you back, and he gets his field back. Well, if in the interim, the buyer of the field, the creditor, ate fruit, then basically what happened here? He lent him money. In the interim, he ate the perot from the field, and now he gets his money back. What are those perot called? Those perot are called interest. He got interest on his loan. For waiting to get his money, he got the benefit of eating the perot on the field during that period of time. Now, on the other hand, if it was in the interim that the mocher, the debtor, had the fruit, then we don't worry about it. Because the debtor had the fruit, then if he defaults on the loan, then the field transfers over to the creditor. If he doesn't default on the loan, he gets his field back. He ate the payroll. Now, truthfully, it's not so clear that if he defaults on the loan, that it also is okay for him to eat the payroll. The Gemara in Baba Metzia over there makes a suggestion that they have to put it with a shalish. They have to leave the payroll with a trustee in order to hold it to see who gets the field in the end. Because Right. The possibility is here, if he defaults on the loan, that the field already belonged to the other party. I mean, it belonged already to the creditor from the moment that he gave it to him. Question is, when does the ownership transfer? If they did not specify that the ownership only transfers at the end of the period, then it might be that he already owns the field because he defaulted on the loan. That means from the moment of the loan, when he gave him the field, it was already the creditor's field. And that means he ate the payroll from the creditor's field when it wasn't his field, because he defaults on the loan later. So Barim Abitzia says that you should leave it with a shalish. We leave it with a trustee. And then in the end, we see whose field it becomes, and then that person gets the payroll. If the debtor is successful at paying back the loan, we'll give him the payroll, because it was his field and during that period of time. If he's unsuccessful and he defaults on the loan, the payroll will be given to the creditor, because he got the field from the beginning. It has to do with a lot of other factors, including when the mashkon transfers, all these other factors. But what we have here is what's called ribit mitzad echad. Ribit from one side. Ribit from one side means, literally as it sounds, which is that there's one situation in which you will get ribit, one situation in which it will not be ribit. Ribit min haTorah is only where, for certain, I will get my money back, and in addition to my money, I get profit. That's called ribit. Ribit is, I lend money, I get interest, I get something also in addition to the loan, and then I get my loan back. That's called ribit gmura, ribit mishnei tzadim. Over here, ribit mitzad echad is where I don't have a guarantee that I'm going to get the interest. It's not certain that I'm going to get the interest over here. Why is that? Number one is, it's ba'al yedei mecher. Number one is that it came through a transaction, not through a loan. The field was put up as collateral, sold to me, basically in place in lieu of the loan. So it was done, first of all, through a transaction of mecher. Number two is that if he does not redeem the field, if he doesn't, in the end, pay back the loan, he defaults on the loan, then it goes over to the creditor or the buyer of the field. In that instance, when he ate the fruit on the field, was he wrong for eating the fruit? No, it was his field. The debtor defaulted on the loan. It became his field. So when he ate the fruit, it wasn't ribit. The only situation in which it's ribit is if he doesn't default on the loan. If he doesn't default on the loan, he takes the field back, then it will be ribit. So there you have two possible outcomes here. Outcome where he defaults, outcome where he pays back the loan. In the case where he defaults, then he was entitled to the field all the way along and the fruit all the way along. He didn't charge ribit. It was his field and he got the fruit. On the other hand, if he doesn't default along and he redeems the land, then in that situation, he did charge ribit because he got his money back. And in the interim, he ate the fruits from the field. So that's ribit mitzad echad. Two options. And one of the options, it's interest. And one of the options, it's not interest. This is called ribit mitzad echad. The question is, how do you view ribit mitzad echad? Gemara says over here, asur. It's asur to set up such a transaction. That's what the Tanakhama says. Yud omer, af bizman shelokeach uchel peirot. Even if the buyer eats the peirot, meaning the creditor eats the peirot, mutar. It's mutar. I'm Rabbi Yehuda, and I have a case like this. Maisa ben baitus ben zonin, shasa sedeu mecher. He made this into a transaction, meaning the field became a part of the payment of the loan. Abi Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah, v'lokeach uchel peirot haya. And the lokeach was buying peirot. Not only do I have this be the din, but I have case law that supports me. So Amrulo, they responded to him, the Chachamim, the Tanakama, Ein misham raya, or you can't bring a raya from here, Mocher ochel perot haya. It was not the lokeach, it was the mocher who was eating perot, v'lo lokeach. Ma b'inayu? What's the machlok between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda? It's exactly this case. Tzad echad beribit ika b'inayu. Tanakama sovereign tzad echad beribit asur. That when you have one side of ribit, it is asur. Yehuda sovereign tzad echad beribit is mutar. And therefore, that's why you have here a braita. Vatanya, areze ribut gemura. Over here, this is full-fledged ribit. El shetorah hitirato. The Torah was matirat. That'll be authored by the Tanakama. Our Mishnah says that it looks like ribit, but it's not ribit. That'll be authored by Rabbi Yehuda, who says tzad echad beribit is not really ribit. Right, I'm reading it like Rashi right now. This is the way that Rashi reads the Gemara. And you have a choice here between it being full-fledged ribit, according to the Tanakhama, and being mutar, according to Rabbi Yehuda. I'll come back in a second and explain it, Shita Tosafot. Rav Amar Dekuli Amat Sarechai Beribit Asur. Everybody holds Sarechai Beribit is Asur. V'hocha, ribit amanat achzir ika b'neyu. It's a case or situation in which I'm charging ribit, but I'll give it back if I'm not deserving of it. Again, the creditor eats the fruit of the field. He says, listen, if you default on the loan, it's my field, it's my fruit, and I'm fine. If you pay me back for the loan, I'll return you the payroll that I ate over that period of time. I'll refund you the rebate. And that's the makhloket here. Refunding of rebate is that a loan. So he gave it out. Masavar asur, masavar mutar. That'll be the machlok between them. What does it have to do with our Mishnah? So Rashi comes up with a wild case to connect it to our Mishnah, which is, if you look at Rashi, it's right across from the top line of the Gemara. The Tana didan savar, afilu tzadechad nami lo havi, dabitorat mecharat liyadei. Rashi says, our Tana, meaning our Mishnah, thinks here that even though tzadechad beribit is normally asur, but over here, since it was done through a transaction, therefore, it's not considered rebit in this case. But Tana de Brita Savar Sof Sof, Ho Velidei Rebit, Adi, Tzadachad Ke Rebit, Gemurai. It's Tzadachad Be Rebit, even though it was done through a transactional nature. Nevertheless, it's called a problem with Tzadachad Be Rebit, Shatrai Tirita. But the Torah says that's Mutar. So Rashi says in the end, it's a case of Tzadachad Be Rebit. But the question is that the Tzadachad Be Rebit here wasn't done in a loan. It wasn't done through a fashion of a loan, but rather through a transactional nature. So in that case, is that called Tzadachad Beribit or not? That's a machlok between our Tano and the Braito. Tosfot says, why don't you just come up with a much simpler case? Tosfot says, there should be two other cases. Cases that match up with what the Gemara just said. He said, V'od yish lefarish. He brings Rashi's interpretation. He says, you could explain it. Dachi pligim at niten o Braito. Kigon shenichnas babayit. Lakzir lo dmei schirut. Shana. Im bal liftoto betochi bet shana. The buyer goes into the house and he says, listen, if you redeem the house, I'll pay you rent on the house. If you don't redeem the house, then I won't pay you rent from the house because then it was mine. So he basically offers to refund him the value of the rent for staying there over the period of time if he redeems the house. So that'll be the machloket between them over here. If you redeem the house and you pay back the rent that you should have paid, is that called rebit or not? That's rebit amanat nachzir. So that'll be the machlokes. Our Tana says rebit amanat nachzir, no problem. That's fine. So that's not called rebit. On the other hand, the Tana of the Braita, who says that this is rebit gemura, says this is a case where even when you refund the rent, that doesn't help you over here. Inami. The other passage, what he says is mara marchada velo plige. They each said it in a different way, but they're not arguing. The matnita matim imayri kishimakzir lo imivdenu braita mayri kishem makzir. The difference between them might be this. Our Mishnah is talking in a case where he offers to refund the rent, and therefore it's okay. And the Braita is a case where he doesn't offer to refund the rent, and that'll be rebit. Because everybody holds Tzadachad Berebit is problematic. Right, so that's the way Rashi reads the Gemara. Quick review of what we just did. We have a case here of what we call Tzadachad Berebit. There's one situation in which rebit will be, come out and be interest one way or you don't. You have two options over here. He does not redeem the house, he does redeem the house. In the case where he doesn't redeem the house, there is no rebit over here. You moved in, you bought the house, it's yours, no problem. The tzad echad where you do have rebit is if he comes back and he redeems the house. He comes back and redeems the house, then he basically lent you money for a period of time and you gave it back to him now. You gave the money back, but in the interim you stayed in the house for free. Staying in the house for free is equivalent, or the foregone rent is equivalent of imputed interest over here. He forewent charging you rent. Why? Because you lent them money in the interim. So that's Tzadachad Berebit. One way it will be rebit, the other way it will not be rebit. First we said the machlok between them is in Tzadachad Berebit. In the end, Rava says, no. Everybody holds Tzadachad Berebit over here in our Gemara is problematic. Now the question is about rebit amanat nachzir. Now we're saying that Tzadachad Berebit is problematic over here. So there are three ways to explain then the machloket. Rashi reads it as Tzadachad Berebit really over here because it was done through a transaction, not through a loan. So maybe it's not called Tzadachad Berebit. Tzadachad Berebit is only when you do it through a loan, not through a transaction. That's one way to explain the machloket. Or the other way to explain the machloket is whether he offers to pay back the rent. If he offers to pay back the rent, that's rebit amanat nachzir. Does that work or not? Our Tana says it works. Tana the Braita says it doesn't work. Or Tosafot suggests maybe they're not even arguing. Our Tana is a situation where she offers to pay back the rent. The Braita is a case where he didn't offer to pay back the rent. So the rent will be, again, this imputed interest on the loan because he redeems the field. It's Tzadachad Berebit. That's a question over here if that's called rebit or not. Because our Mishnah doesn't call it that Torah Yitirat. It says it's not rebit kumura. Our Mishnah calls it like quasi rebit. The Braita says it's full-fledged rebit and the Torah was matirat. There's a machlokas about when you offer to pay the rent, is that called rebit or not? There's a daya that says it is rebit. The author of the Braita will think that even when you offer to pay back the rent, that's still called rebit, and that's why Vatora Yitirata. The Tosfot says that Rashi is describing over here a case of rebit Rabbanon. So why are we even dealing with the Torah Yitirata? If you look at the Tosfot, it's the bottom of Laman Aleph, he says, Vim Tomar, my shnami mashkanta blo nechaita, deinu elo avak rebit. How is this different than a case in Bava Metzia where a person gives a mashkon and the person who has the mashkon, the creditor has the mashkon, is allowed to eat from the field and the agreement is that that will not defease the loan. They will not reduce the value of the loan by the payroll that he eats. And over there we said it's only a vak ribit. It's not real rebbit to be a deoraita. Over here, we're calling this all, we're talking a Torah level of rebbit in our Gemara. And over here, the Gemara calls it avak rebbit. It's only rebbit to Rabbanan.
Yes, you can say a third deoraita over here, in this, in that sense, if you want to look at it that way, that it would just be a rebbit to Rabbanan. But that's, this is the only method in which the Torah was created. You can be going to the house. So therefore, the Torah created a scenario where the Rabbanan could not ask a rebbit.
The circumstances, of course, that they're, even though they normally would aser, but the Torah says here it's mutar, so you can't aser it. That's what you're suggesting.
Yeah.
Right. Tosfot says Rashi is mechalek min bayit l'sadeh. Tosfot says that Rashi differentiates between a house and a field. What's the difference? A field, there's a risk involved. We always talk about this in Baba Metziah. How do you determine if something is rebbit or not? And whether you're assuming risk. Are you definitely going to get it? Rashi says by a field, it's not definite that you're going to get it because it's a possibility there's a blight 1 year, there's a locust plague, there's a shidafon, there's a flood, something happens, it's a possibility the field doesn't produce in that year. So you're not guaranteed to get the output of the field. With the house is always there, it's always available. If a person lives in a house, they're definitely would have paid rent, they would have paid rent somewhere else, they're definitely getting benefit, there's no question there's rebit. So Rashi distinguishes between a field where it's only a vak rebit and a rebit de Rabbanan, because there we're not certain you're going to get rebit. It's not 100%. Whereas in a house, it's 100% that you'll get it. That's what Rashi says. The Shema Sadeh lo yaseh peirot, ha-babayit yafshar shlo yaneh mimenu b'dirato. When you live in a house, you're definitely getting benefit from it. It's no question. Rabbeinu Tam argues on Rashi. Rabbeinu Tam says in a house, you could also have the same thing. It's a possibility the house will fall down. There'll be a fire. The house won't be there anymore. So it's a possibility, even with the house, that you could have a possibility that you would not get benefit from the house. So in your other Rabbeinu Tam chiluk zeh, the Rabbi Nami ikas feka, shem yipol, yisareif, elavadai, in chiluk ben tzadeh labayit. Rabbeinu Tam is unwilling to separate between a house and a field. So now, how do you separate our case here from the case of mashkanta ben achaita, which is mutar, min haTorah, is only asur midi Rabbanan? He says, ay mashkanta mayri, shel hilvalo al tzadeh. The debtor over here has no possibility of renting it out to someone else. It's basically. It's a case in which the debtor has lost all rights to rent out the field. Because you know who the field is with right now? It's with the creditor. He's holding it as collateral. He's actually got it in his hand. It's his. And he won't let you use it. He won't let you access it. He won't let you do anything with it. So now, what are the choices? You either leave it fallow, and nobody gets it, or the creditor uses it. Now, when the creditor uses it, is he really getting a benefit? You would have got zero from this field anyway. So if he gets it, it's zeneneh, v'zilo chaser. Those are cases only of vak rebit, rebit derabanan. And that'll be the same thing with the house over there. The house will be a case where creditor has the house in his hand, and therefore you couldn't have rented it out anyway. So when he stays in there, zeneneh, v'zilo chaser, that'll be avak rebit derabanan. Our case over here is where the debtor has possession. But the debtor has possession, he could have rented it out. And then instead you take the payroll. Or instead you live in the house, that's rebbit d'oraita, because that's not zeneneh zol chaser, that's zeneneh v'zeh chaser. In that case, that'll be considered rebbit d'oraita. So that's the way the Rabbeinu Tam distinguishes between our case and the case over there. It also in the end says that this case will still be problematic for the Rabbeinu Tam, because over here you're right, the creditor is living in the house. And the debtor does not have a right to rent the house out, meaning that it is the creditor who's in there. So he says that in the end, you have to say what rebut gemurah means, is rebut gemurah durabanan. That harizu rebut gemurah durabanan, elisha durai tirato, which is exactly what you were trying to suggest, is that this is rebut durabanan gemurah, but the Torah says that this is an exceptional case, and that's your answer. It's really a rebut durabanan over here, and the durai tirata just means that the Torah said this is a case where it is mutar, and the rabbanan didn't go out of their way to assert such a case. Alright, so that's the answer to your question of why this isn't considered rebbit d'rabbanan over here. It's rebbit d'oraita. And again, Rashi distinguishes between house and field, whereas Rabbeinu Tam distinguishes between whose possession the collateral is in. Can the debtor get benefit from this field or not? And that will determine whether it has a din d'oraita here or not. Meita mocher yigal b'no, how do you know that? Shita. Of course he can redeem it, why not? No ma'u di tema, I would have thought that the pasuk says, in terms of ish kimkor beit moshav yirchoma. Ish ki imkor. The man who sold it, he's the one who is able to redeem it. Bahai lav machar. This person didn't sell it. His son did not sell the field. Kamash malon, that we learn, vaita gi'ulato. Pasuk continues and says, vaita gi'ulato, gulato mikol makom. Rashi claims over here that you should have written igalena. Atom, not memkoro. The fact that it writes gi'ulato was an unnecessary language, and therefore, anybody can redeem it. I mean, anybody, meaning even the son of the seller can redeem it. If the buyer dies, he can redeem it from his son. Pshita, I would have thought that also. Ma'u de tema. This end of the pasuk says that you buy it from the one who bought it. So it sounds like he's not the one who bought it. Mashmalan, vaitag gulato mikomakov. Again, the same libud that vaitag gulato, atom shnat emkaro. Gulato, which according to Rashi shouldn't have been the word here. You should have had the word igalena. The fact that it uses gulato, vaitag gulato, teaches you that you have the right to redeem it, even the son of the seller, and even from the son of the buyer, or the inheritor of the buyer. So now the Gemara says, Ein monim lo shana ele mishash machar. We count the year from the time that he sold it. Tanu Rabbanan, shana, eni yodeim shana le rishonim shana le sheni. What happens if there were two transactions here? Reuven sold it to Shimon, and then Shimon sold it to Levi 2 months later. Shomer ad melot lo shana tmima. So the pasuk says, Ish kimkor be'im moshav yerchoma, v'ayta gulato atom shana mem koro yamim teye gulato, v'im lo yigael ad melot lo shana tmima. Lo means from him. Him being the original seller. The year is counted from the original seller, not from the second buyer. So it's the first buyer, not the second buyer. So I know from that, Havei Shana, the Rishon. Now the question is the Michalut. Who gets the house over here? You have Reuven selling it to Shimon in Tishrei. Then you have Shimon selling it to Levi in Kislev. We just figured out that when it reaches Tishrei the next year, it's gone. The house is gone. The question is who gets it? Is it Shimon who gets it, or is it Levi who gets it? You say to me, it's obvious. Shimon is the one. He's the only one that had a year expired. Levi doesn't have a year expire yet. Not so fast. It goes to the first buyer. It goes to the second buyer. I understand Rabbi Lazar's position. We're counting it from the first sale, so it belongs to him. What's the reasoning behind Rabbi Yochanan? When you sell something, you sell the field with all your rights in it. The first individual is selling to the second all of his rights in the field. If you have only a leasehold in the field, you're selling him the leasehold. If you have ownership in the field, you're selling him ownership. And that's exactly what happened here. First guy sells in the field, and he says, basically, if it's redeemed, I've only sold you a leasehold in the field, like I had. If it isn't redeemed, then I really own the house. I'm selling you my ownership in the house. I'm selling you all my rights here. My rights could be one of two. It could either be that I just have a leasehold, could be that I really own it. Depends what happens at the end of the year. But since you bought it from me, you basically step into my shoes, you become me. Since you become me, that means when the first seller, Reuven, who sold it, doesn't redeem it, then it actually goes to the ownership of Levi. Shimon now owns it because there was a year passed and it wasn't redeemed, but Shimon sold that right to Levi. So Levi owns that right and it becomes his, basically. He's now Shimon. Levi now replaces Shimon. If you stipulated this in the contract, there's nothing to talk about. If you stipulate in the contract that you will not get that right, if he does not redeem within the year, you don't get that right. Your year will start from the time that we had our transaction. If you stipulate in the contract, that's not a question. Here, it was not stipulated in either of the contracts what would happen. Question is, what did the second buy? Did he buy all the rights of the first person, or did he only buy the leasehold in the property? And that's the question over here. Rabbi Elazar says he only bought the leasehold until you expire that year. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, he bought all the rights that the first had. And Levi becomes Shimon in this case. He basically replaces Shimon, and he gets the right that if it's not redeemed, then he gets it. The question is, when you sell, are you selling all your rights in the field, and basically Levi becomes Shimon? That's Rabbi Yochanan's opinion. Or, Rabbi Elazar believes, no. That it's as if there was no transaction between Reuven and Shimon. It's starting from fresh, like you're saying. It's a reset. And there's a new sale now, so the new sale has nothing to do with the original sale. So that's the two ways to look at it. Rabbi Elazar says it's a new sale. Rabbi Yochanan says, in the context of the first sale, I sold you all my rights, and therefore you become me. Now, Amar Rabbi Ava Bar Mamel, this is a fun case. It happens with bar mitzvahs as well. But Machar Sheinei Batei Choma, a person sold two houses in a walled city. Echad B'chamishasar B'Adar Rishon. First one he sold on the 15th of Adar Rishon. Ve'echad Ve'echad B'Adar Sheni. And the next one he sold on Rosh Chodesh Adar Sheni. Zeh Shemachar Lo B'Adar Sheni. Kevin Shiyov Yom Yom Echad B'Adar Shel Shana. Ba'a Alto Lo Shana. Next year, Rosh Chodesh Adar, it's done. Because there aren't two Adars in the following. You don't have two leap years in a row. So then next year, you only have one Adar. Rosh Chodesh Adar, you're done the next year. Zeh Shemach Alo, B'chamisha Asar Shal Adar, HaRishon, the one who sold it on the 15th of Adar Rishon, Lo Alta Lo Shana, HaChamisha Asar V'Adar, Shal Shana Ba. He gets it back until the 15th of Adar Rishon. That means the one who sold first actually ends up having his year end after the one who sold 15 days later. This happens with Bar Mitzvahs. A child that is born in a leap year, in the leap month, he's born in Adar Sheni. It will turn out in the subsequent year, he'll actually be bar mitzvahed before someone who was born earlier than him. Somebody who was born 15 days beforehand will actually be bar mitzvah 15 days afterhand, 13 years later. If it's not a leap year, then he will be bar mitzvah before the other party. So now, the Gemara says, I entered the house before you. Shouldn't I get the house? You ended up, you dealt with the leap month, meaning that you went in before. You went in before the leap month. Therefore, you have a 13-month year, and you have to wait for 13 months. I, who did it during the leap month, I get the benefit. I only have to wait 12 months. You have to wait 13 months because you did it before the leap month. So, Amar Rabbi Avraham Amalo, Nodolo Shnei Tlaim. He had two animals born into his flock. One was born on the 15th of Adar Rishon. The other one was born on Rosh Chodesh Adar Sheni. The one who was born on Rosh Chodesh Adar Sheni. Then when he reaches the following year, then the year's up. 12 months later, he's done. The one who was born on the 15th of Adar Rishon, he has to wait the full 13 months until he has a year that expires. Rashi says we're speaking about Bechor here. We're speaking about the din of Bechor, that a Bechor has to be brought within its first year of life. And here we're determining what is the first year of life for the Bechor. The one who was born on the 15th of Adar Rishon, 13 months until he has a full year. The one who's born in Adar Sheni, it actually only be 12 months until he's classified as being 1 year that is up. The truth is, you could have argued that he's talking about any korban that's required in its first year of life, when it's in the korban of Pesach, anything else where you do require that it be in the Shana Rishona, that you could have the same issue that arises in terms of when does the first year terminate. So the Gemara says, Velema ana kodem achlo yarka. I was already grazing in the fields, becoming the doch. You weren't even born and I was grazing in the fields. And how can it be that your year is expiring before mine? You were born before the leap year, therefore you have to wait the full 13 months. I didn't have this problem. I was born in the leap month, and therefore I don't have this problem. It says, why are you giving me another example of the same situation? This is the same as the case of Batei Erei Choma, same as the din here by the Korbanot. By the case of the Batei Erei Choma, it says the word Tmima specifically. So over there, maybe you only get the Chodesh Ibur. Over here by the Korbanan, we don't have Tmima. Kamash Malon, the Shana, Shana Mahadadei Gamre. We learn out Shana Shuram for each other. You get the benefit of the leap year. And again, according to Tosavot, the previous Amud, you also get the benefit of Mi'eit Le'eit. You get the same din that you have by Batei Erei Choma will apply to all other dinim that also require this idea that running on their own time and running on their own years, that you also get the benefit of Me'et Le'et. Okay, Shu'omer Tmima, Rabbi Omar, Litein Lo Shana V'Ibura, Tana Rabbanan, Shana Tmima, Rabbi Omer Moneh, Shlosh Me'ov, Tishishim Chamisha Yamim, Minyan Yimot HaChama, Rabbi says you count 365 days, like the solar year. Chamim Amim, Moneh, Shnei Masar Chodesh, Miyom Niyom, you get 12 months from day to day, Vim Nitabra, Nitabra Lo, and if there's a leap year in the interim, you get that benefit, the seller has the benefit of that, and it'll be 13 months before he has to redeem it. What does it mean, litzmitut? Lechalutim. Means permanently. The sale goes through permanently. Davar litzmitut, the rabotet matana. Comes to include even a gift. My timer. Tzmit, tzmitut. It could have written tzmit. Read tzmitut. So tzmit teaches me that even by a gift, there will be a permanent sale. Come on. So who's this like? The local Rabbi Meir. It sounds like it's not like Rabbi Meir. Tik Rabbi Meir, Amar Matana and a Kamecher. Then it comes to the Yovel, a Matana doesn't have the same din as a Mecher. So I'm Rabbi Papa, Afilu Teim Rabbi Meir, Shani Ocha, the Rabbi Rachmana, the Mitzmitut. We have the extra Lashon Mitzmitut, will come include a Matana. So even though normally by the Yovel, Rabbi Meir believes that a Matana is not like a Mecher, nevertheless over here, he will say that Matana has a din like a Mecher. Amar Rabbanan, Karela Rapapa, Vamarla, Rapahuna, Braid Rabbi Shul Rapapa, Baha Gabi Yovel, Dechtib Tashuvu, the Rabotet Matana. By Yovel, it has the extra lashon of Teshuvu, Mishnat Yovel is Teshuvu, each Elechuzato. And from there, the Chachamim learn out that a Matana also goes back on the Yovel, to learn out of the extraneous lashon of Teshuvu. And despite the fact that there's an extra lashon of Teshuvu, Rabbi Meir still says, the Rabbi Tamatan Rabbi Meir lo kam Rabbi, and Rabbi Meir still says, the Matana ini kamecher, Elavadai lo kam Rabbi Meir. You see that there's also a riboy in the Pasuk by Yovel for Matana, and nevertheless, Rabbi Meir says that Matana is not kamecher, so what that we have a riboy over here with Tzmitut? Rabbi Meir doesn't think the riboy makes a difference. He doesn't think it makes a difference by Yovel. He doesn't think it doesn't make a difference over here as well. Matana is never kamecher. And therefore, Rabbi Meir cannot be the author of our Mishnah. Turn a banana, a magdish, bayit, bebet, erechuma, a person who's magdish, a house, In Erechomar, is it Goel? But Goel Leolam. He's allowed to Goel Miyad. He's allowed to redeem it immediately and forever. Golo Acher Miyad Ekdesh. If a third party came and redeemed it for Ekdesh, Gia Yom Shnei Masar Chodesh Lo Nigala Yachalut Lo. So once the third party buys it, he strikes a clock. That clock is if the original owner does not redeem it, then the clock starts. So putting it to Hekdesh does not start the clock for you lose your house. So the house in the hands of Hekdesh will remain yours in the sense that you're allowed to redeem it immediately, and you can redeem it even if you pass the Yovel. So it will not be Chalut to Hekdesh, you'll get it back as long as you redeem it. In the instance where Hekdesh sold it out to a third party, that starts the clock. That's as if you transacted with this third party, the clock starts. If you redeem it within that year, fine. If not, it will remain permanently with the party that bought it from Hekdesh. Not immediately. How do you know this is true? Amar Shmuel, Amar Kra. Pasuk says, the kone otok, from to the buyer. Vafilu miyad Hekdesh, even if he's the buyer from Hekdesh. For the chalatei Hekdesh. Why doesn't Hekdesh get it to be permanent? Why doesn't Hekdesh get the year clock, and then after a year becomes Hekdesh's permanently? Where it says, Amar Kra, le dorotav. Says the kone uto lidorotav for his generations after him, it will remain his. It will become a bayit achuza for him. So Gemara says that's only true. Yatzai Hekdesh in lo dorot excludes Hekdesh, which doesn't have dorot. Hekdesh is an entity. Entities don't have generations. People have generations. So Yatzai be yovel lamali. Why do you have to teach me? It doesn't go out in the yovel. If it's, it will remain permanently with the party that bought it. Of course, yovel doesn't affect it. Amrav Safra lo nitzucha la mocher bayit. He sold it with less than a year left to the Yovel. Now the Yovel comes and is pogeya before the year's up. What would I have thought? Maybe Sakadat is immediately go lipok Yovel. I would have thought maybe the Yovel affects it and returns the house to him. Kamashalan, lo yitzibi Yovel. The Yovel does not have any impact on the house. And that's why the Pasuk says over here, lo koneo tolu dorotav, lo yitzibi Yovel. It will not go out in the Yovel. Pasha Pshat and the Pasuk is because it now becomes permanent ownership of the buyer. But you'd say the Yovel does not affect it in terms of releasing it back to the seller. But the Gemara darshans it even in a situation where it still hasn't gone through permanently the sale. Nevertheless, the Yovel has no impact. Lo Yitzebi Yovel means even though you sold the field in proximity to the Yovel and your year is not up, so the sale is not final. Nevertheless, the Yovel has no impact on the sale. And the same din of 1 year will apply. Yovel is not a relevant factor within this din of Batei Arei Choma. And if you do not redeem it within the year, you lose it. The Yovel will not help you in this situation.
Okay, we'll stop over here.